Now, this is the question that we've got to answer. How do we present this gospel to people in contemporary Britain? How do we present it? This is a predominantly post-Christian age, and people have no religious vocabulary and a minimal knowledge of Christian truth. So that's what we're dealing with. Paul adapted his message when he went to Athens to people who didn't have a religious vocabulary. But he didn't compromise the truth. It's easy to compromise the gospel because you want people to accept it. He didn't do that. But he made absolutely sure that what he said was relevant to the people. How do we present the gospel today? Now, that's our big challenge. And that's a question that you've got to answer before we bring on the secret weapon, Adnan, to speak about testimony today. So in your group, discuss that and think through how we can make it relevant. Mental health. We have a mental health crisis in Britain. Why is that? Two, there's the climate problem. People are worried about creation, what's going to happen. That's another issue. The gender issue is another. There's confusion about gender. Think of issues that are relevant in our society and how the gospel applies to them. Because often, if you start where people are, they'll listen. Because what you say resonates with their experience. So think about those issues. And also the meaning of life. One of the big problems that people have is they wonder about their purpose. What is the purpose of my existence? Why am I alive? And this time we start with this team. Who's the spokesperson?
I think it's very important that we meet people where they are, find out what their interests are, that sort of thing, find out what's worrying them, and respond to what they say. I was mentioning that the way I really got involved in thinking about Jesus was through a student friend of mine who was a Christian. I said, there's an important film in cinema, All Quiet on the Western Front. Let's go along and see it. So he went and saw it, and on the way back, it was a very thought-provoking film about the futility of war, and we cycled back in silence, we were putting our bikes away, and I said, you know, you really ought to think about what might happen if this is all the Cold War things, if another war starts, would you fight? And I was keen on pacifism at the time. And he said, well, I'll think about that if you think about Jesus. And that was the only time he'd sort of really said anything to me about it, although I knew he was a Christian. And I had to, I was pulled short by that because I realized that in the past I had accepted what other people said about Jesus, and I'd never looked at the Bible at all, never actually thought about what Jesus really came to do. And so he asked me to read John's Gospel, and that was the start of my, the classic thing of, is God, is Jesus mad, bad, or who he says he was? And that was the crux, really, of how I became a Christian, although there were other things in the past that affected it too. So he took the opportunity of jumping in there. That was a question that I, or something, statement I made. And we need to think, you know, if you like, get people talking about what interests them or what is concerning them, and we can...
Yes, bring Jesus into it.
Yes.
Yeah, that is phenomenal. Okay, next team.
We mainly talked about young people self-harming and mental health. And from my experience as a teacher dealing with this, I think I came to the conclusion that actually it's because their knowledge of who they are, their self-image, and the knowledge that they have sin in their lives, but they don't know that it's sin. You know, that they don't have the hangers that we, well, not you lot, but most of us had as children to hang it on. You know, the church background or whatever. I mean, Roger, even you would have had a lot of knowledge of God because it through Sunday schools and as we were growing up. But nowadays, they don't have that, so they don't know what that is. And it was one morning when we were in ladies' Bible study, and we were it was going through a passage, and it was about a tormented man coming out of a tomb, and he was cutting himself, and then it suddenly dawned on me that maybe there's that connection, you know, of that weight of sin and all the rest of it that goes with that, and the experiences of young people. Is that they have this feeling they don't know what to do with it. I actually suggested to my line manager once, who was one of the assistant heads, that this was the issue. And he was actually quite receptive about that, and he didn't laugh at me or anything, so didn't say that's a load of rubbish. So I think, you know, I mean, that's how you would approach a young person to talk through that. I mean, that would clearly take a lot of sensitivity, and I think God would have to do some major things in your thought processes of the things you could say. But I think God gives us hope, and God gives us release from sin, and that's the crux of it, isn't it? Whatever it is. Yes, about you come in at the right level. But, you know, as you said, Roger, you have to know where people are. So you have to have that relational side to people. The other thing we discussed was that actually, as a fellowship, how many of us socialise with non-Christians? And certainly that, for me, has reduced massively. Unless you count grandchildren in that category, which they are. But, you know, I don't socialise anymore, you know, very much with non-Christian people. So that relationship aspect has disappeared out of my life, which is probably sad. But yeah. Oh, yeah, mother and toddler when we do that. And we do the youth work as well. But yeah,
completely.
No, not completely.
So we were discussing Daniel. He brought up a really good point on what we're facing in today's world and the rise of Satanism in pop culture and how it's becoming more mainstream. And there's more acceptance of it, but another beautiful thing is that there's opposition to it as well, even from non-Christians. This darkness and this rise of darkness creates such a space to draw people into the light, because people are seeing this evil and it's being forced on them, and the music and the movies and all these things that in our everyday lives, And from my experience and people that we've been, you know, people that I know and have interacted with, people are getting tired of it and they're looking for an alternative. And the alternative is Jesus, as we know. And it's creating a really ripe time in today's world and in today's society to bring people into the kingdom and to go on the offensive and start taking ground from the enemy. Because people are really tired of having everything forced on them, especially we're talking about with the gender dysphoria. People don't know what genders they are, and all these agendas that are being pushed hard. It creates an amazing time and an amazing moment for us to lead the way, as the Bible says, and to not compromise and to show love to people where they are. As you were saying, it's so important to understand where people are. And then to share our experiences and share the truth with them as well on top of that. And there's a lot of beauty and a lot of benefit that takes place when that happens. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit as well. As we know, we can't force anything on anybody, but we can lead them to the water and the water of life. And the Holy Spirit draws all men to the Father through that.
Falls to me again, yeah. So we originally started the discussion with Rand, what did Jesus do when he interacted with people? And we came to something that's already been said. He met them at their place of their need. And that is something that we should be doing, is meeting where the people are at, what is their need, and asking God to give us the words to say. Something that Sue said was, when you're talking to them, you can only give them your story. You can't use stories of other people. It's that getting to know somebody, getting them to what they call these days a safe space, where people can talk openly and freely without fear of, you know, criticism. And there's an example given, somebody, what did you do at the weekend? I went to church. What did you do at the weekend? I went to church. And over a period of time, the person who kept asking that question eventually got round to, so what do you do in church? And it started to open up the conversation. So there was that aspect. There was also how you actually live your life. People will see the way you live and the way you are and the way you interact with people. So those are the subjects that we kind of touched on. Thinking about some of the four things that you said, thinking about sort of the environmental issues and so on, there is the Christian perspective that God gave Adam the job of looking after creation. So there's that aspect you can bring into a conversation that, you know, God created, and yes, it is our responsibility to look after it. Have I missed anything? No? Okay.
Okay, they were very good responses. With the whole mental health issue, that's a difficult one, because some people do have neurological problems. So it's not caused by circumstance, it's caused by the malfunction of the brain. But I think a lot of problems in our society are not caused by mental malfunction, but by circumstances. I was driving in my car with someone called Ankush, and we were talking, and I stopped to get fuel. And instead of putting diesel in my car, I put petrol. And we were driving along and my car stopped. I'd put the wrong fuel in the car. I felt really stupid. But if you have the wrong information inside you, it can lead to malfunction. And when people get away from this notion that they were created by God, they're of value, they're made in his image, I think it can cause deep psychological trauma. So there's a message there. The other thing which I've become increasingly aware of, because I work in media as well as in preaching, is that so many of the films are dystopian. Have you noticed that? So you watch a film and it's about the world after a climatic tragedy. It can be a climate tragedy, it can be a war, but the human race is struggling to survive. So that is buried deep into the human psyche. Are we going to survive? Or will we become extinct as a species? But we as Christians have that, what they call the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So we've got a message there that the world is not going to end in a huge... nuclear disaster or in a climate disaster, but God is in control. So we've got a fantastic message there. So if we look at society, there are messages that we have that are relevant to the world in which we live. And that's how we should be thinking. That's the way that we should think. But one thing that has come out is this whole idea that we respond to the needs of people, and that's evangelism. But you need to be connected with people. And often what happens in the church is that we become a subculture and disconnect from anyone who's not a Christian. And then we expect to be successful. We've got to be connected to people.